Hello and welcome to the Pulpiteer Podcast, an audio online ministry of Pastor Andy Kroll and St. John's Pilgrim United Methodist Church. You can visit us online at pilgrimumchurch.com, or you can visit my blog at thepulpiteer.com for more sermons and writing.
Amen. All right, well, thank you. Okay, so you've had a little bit of time to turn to Mark chapter 12. And I'm going to read verses 38 to 44. As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces. They have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance, say long prayers, so they will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she has to live on." Would you bow your heads for me, please? Heavenly Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be an acceptable sacrifice to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So Stewardship Sunday, which is, I know, exciting for everyone, but Stewardship Sunday, it's not, you know, the way I like to focus on it is, it's not a fundraising thing. Like, this isn't PBS fundraising where you get to, like, if you give this level of donation, you get a free pilgrim tote bag. Or for those of you who can commit $50 a month, that's it, just $50 a month for the next year, you get your free 1976 commemorative pilgrim United Methodist Church photo, right? That would be kind of fun, but that's not how we do it. We're not doing the commemorative photos or the giving levels or stuff like that. Instead of a fundraising thing, what we're really doing is I want you to wrestle with these questions. Are you willing to be entirely devoted to God? And if you're willing to be entirely devoted to God, or to at least work on that, what does that look like in your finances? And really the question is, what does that look like in all areas of your life? But in Stewardship Sunday, we wrestle with what does that look like in your finances? And we get into that question today by looking at the story of the widow who gave two coins. And I've said this with a couple of different passages, that it's important for us to realize there's some things, because we hear the story so often, we're not as shocked by what Jesus is doing. But it's important to realize that this is kind of shocking what Jesus is doing. It should catch us off guard, and it should kind of challenge some of the assumptions that we have. Like, there's a lot of times where if you were hanging out with Jesus, he would just mess with your head. He would challenge the assumptions that you had about things, the way you thought conversations would go, or the way you thought the whole things were set up. And it's important for us to realize that Jesus' teaching here would be kind of shocking, because for one thing, he criticizes the scribes, and then for another thing, he downplays the gifts of rich people in order to focus on the widow, which would be surprising. And so I want to begin by considering the scribes, because it kind of gets us into some of the themes that are going on here. So with the scribes sought honor. In fact, the scribes not only sought honor, but the scribes received honor in a lot of different ways. They were honored people, and so they would wear long white linen robes, and they'd have a long white mantle on them that would go to the floor, and there was a lot of fringe involved. And so the whole white linen thing would stand out, because the common people wore bright colors, and so when you see the white linen coming through, it would be a stark contrast. It would stand out. In fact, it was scribes were so respected then, and so this white would signify that this was an important person coming through, that people would actually stand. They'd stop what they're doing and stand out of reverence or respect to the scribe as the scribe passed by, which would be kind of a big deal. Not only that, but if a person threw a feast and wanted to have the feast be a big deal, if you wanted your feast to be real, if you wanted to show how important you were with this feast, it was considered an ornament of an important feast to have a scribe or a scribe and students there. Like, that was a big deal. So if you were the sort of person who could throw a bash that had a scribe show up, you were pretty important. And if you could throw a bash and have the scribe show up, the scribe would have the honored seats. They had the most important seats at the table, which, by the way, at the table, it was like where you sat kind of showed how important you were relative to what was going on. So it was kind of a big deal. So the scribes would get the most important seats. They would even get more important seats than the person who's throwing the party, their parents. It would be like mom and dad would be bumped down in order to have the scribes come and sit in the most honored seat. This was a big deal. They were honored and they received honor and that sort of thing. You might hear this sort of stuff and you think, that's kind of goofy. What do we do that for? We do social cues in order to show who's honored and what's honored and who's in the tribe and who's out of the tribe. Like, these sort of social cues are important, and this social signaling are important. And if you think about it, this is something that everybody has to agree upon. It's not like the scribes one day said, hey, everybody, just so you know, we're really important and we're going to wear white and you can only wear red. And it's not like it was somehow the whole society bought into this way of doing things. And within the societal way of doing things, there were signals. And those signals showed who was important and what was good, what you needed to honor, and who was in the in-group and who was in the other group, and that sort of stuff. So people do these sort of these signs and cues to show those sorts of things. With the scribes, then, we have what people see as and represent as being good, as high values. Jesus goes against those social expectations. He criticizes the scribes because they're seeking honor from people. And then in the next couple verses, he ignores the rich folks who were giving lots of money, which, by the way, they would have thought, well, they're rich because God has blessed them and they're very important and they're giving a lot of money, so this is a big deal. He ignores those rich folks in order to focus on the widow who was poor. And it wouldn't be like everyone hated the poor widow. It's like no one would have paid attention to her. She would have been invisible. But Jesus not only pays attention to her, but lifts her up as the one to look at. It's this surprising thing. Jesus goes against social expectations. Now, again, it's easy for us to kind of look and say, oh, those weird first century Jerusalem people, they just did things weird. Luckily, we don't have anything like that, right? But really, we have ways that we show social cues as well. We have ways that we show what we value. We have ways that we show what is who's in what tribe and who's in another tribe and that sort of stuff. I just want to share a couple of examples. I thought they'd be fun. So here's one way. Here's one social signal you can do to show. I went out to eat one point this week, and I saw someone wearing a Make America Great Again hat, right? This is a social cue, a social signal. This is a signal of things. This allows you to know who's in what group, if you belong to this tribe or to that tribe. And it allows you, there's statements around that as far as what is valued as good or not. There's even, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, there's even conflicting statements about what is good or not. Like, in fact, I don't know if this is the case here, but it may be the case that bringing up Make America Great Again hats has gut reactions from people in this very congregation right now. You might find yourself, well, for it, or right? Isn't that interesting? And my point is, this is not a neutral or a value neutral piece of clothing. This isn't just a red hat. This red hat sends a signal. And different people get the different signals, but it's interesting because there's like values about good and bad and values about who belongs to what tribe are all connected into if you wear a hat. It's kind of fascinating, isn't it? We're interesting creatures, humans are. And so we send those signals. Or something else. I don't know if you're aware of this, but we just had an election last week. There's a national election that went on. And with that election, one of the things that we do is it's very common to write on the Facebook or through Twitter or Instagram that you voted. And you tell people that you voted. And celebrities, people from Hollywood, come on TV and things, and they tell us to vote, and they say it's very important to vote, and you're supposed to go vote. And so then you're told to go vote, and other people are voting, so everyone's voting. You go to vote, and then you go vote. And then when you go vote, what do you get? You get a sticker, right? Adults get stickers, and you get a sticker, and you put the sticker on you. What do? You take a picture of yourself with a sticker, and then you put the sticker on the Facebook, and you tell other people, go vote so you can go get your sticker. People see the sticker, and they know that you voted, which is a good thing. That's what everyone, we have to know this. Think of what you're signaling with this stuff. All sorts of signals. And you can't say, like, uninformed voting is bad. No, voting is good, right? And you can get beat up. Because there's values that are associated with the social signals that we give. It's a fascinating thing. And so just as human beings in a society, I could have gone on and on with all sorts of stuff with this. It would have been a lot of fun, but I thought, we got to talk about money too. So let's step away from American politics to talk about giving money to church. Hey! It's just fascinating that there's all sorts of things that we have these social cues and signals that show what tribe we belong to and what we value as good and bad and all of that stuff. And I want you to keep that in mind because when Jesus critiques the scribes, like, it really cuts against things. I mean, you have to imagine that. Imagine that in your mind you already know, hey, these things are an unquestioned good. Like, it is the right thing for us to honor the scribes because we are the Jewish people under occupation. It's important for us to know the law. Okay? So you have this whole thing in your mind of what is important and what is not important and what is right and all of that stuff. And if you were really, really sure who was good and what was good and who was the in-group, and then Jesus comes along and criticizes the scribes and ignores the rich people, it would really throw you off. And he does this, by the way, to talk about a poor widow, which, let's be honest, it is cute in an inspirational Hallmark story sort of way that the widow gave less than a penny into the offering, but if we're honest, it really doesn't keep the electricity on in the temple, right? It's almost like Jesus values things that are totally different than the things we value. And I think that's where we got to kind of feel this challenge from the scripture. Is that there are things that we think are really, really, really important that Jesus isn't even addressing. It's like we're worried about, is it A or B? And Jesus is like, you know, the color red is nice. What? We're worried about if it's a good guy or a bad guy or who's a good guy. And Jesus says, you don't even understand what good is. You're not even in the right conversation. You're not even understanding the right thing. And so Jesus gives the disciples a challenge. And the challenge works this way. And I want you to think about this. Jesus calls the disciples over. And so since we are disciples of Jesus, imagine Jesus calling us over to point something out. And what is it that Jesus wants to point out to the disciples? He says, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all that she had to live on. He wants to point out this poor widow, but what mattered was not the amount of the gift. What mattered was that she gave all that she had. And what we see demonstrated here is the widow's gift represents her total commitment to God. Her total commitment to God. She had, it's amazing, she had two coins. In my hands I have two pennies. You probably can't see in the back, you probably can't see in the front, but I do have two pennies in my hands. And it's amazing because she gave them both. Everything she had, she gave them both. Now, if she would have given one of them, what percentage of her total wealth is that? That's 50%. I used to be a math teacher. I hope some of you can figure this out in your head. 50%. Is there anyone here who has given away 50% of your total wealth? So let's be honest. One of two coins is pretty darn impressive. If anyone in that temple had an excuse to hold back, one coin out of two, it was the widow. But she gave them both. Everything she had, she was completely devoted to God. It never occurred to me until I was reading this week to think about this whole thing of her giving them both. I mean, it would have been easy. I mean, think if the story would have been that she had one coin. Well, one coin, you're all or nothing, right? One coin, you're all or nothing. But if she has two, that enters in the possibility of she can give half. And again, let's be honest, the second coin is not keeping the plumbing paid up at the temple, right? Like, it's not making any difference financially. But yet, she gives them both. Why does she give them both? And then why does Jesus lift her up for doing so. It's because this gift of both coins demonstrates that she is giving herself completely to God. She's not holding any part of herself back. She is throwing herself completely on God's mercy. This inability to give yourself completely to God, that's the scribe's problem. The scribes weren't worried about giving themselves completely to God. They were worried about other people giving them praise and honor. And Jesus says, you're missing the whole thing. The whole thing isn't about you getting honored. It's not about you getting a good seat at the big boy. Right? The whole thing is about, will you give your life completely to God? Will you give yourself completely to God? That's what's going on. The question of Stewardship Sunday is not, can we fund the church? That's why this isn't a fundraiser. If Stewardship Sunday is about funding the church, I picked a crappy verse for that. Because if it was about funding the church, who would have Jesus paid attention to? The rich people. Because we need money to pay for lights and stuff, and the pastor's salary that you get to vote on, all of that stuff, right? But if stewardship is about something else, if it's about discipleship, then this story comes out in an important and challenging way. Will you give all of yourself? Are you willing to be entirely devoted to God? And if you are willing to be entirely devoted to God, what does that look like in your finances? Are you holding back half of yourself? Are you thinking you want to give part? Are you holding back from God? What does that look like in all areas of your life to be completely devoted to God? What does that look like with your time? What does that look like with your thoughts and with your study? What does that look like in your interactions with other people? Like, are you like church Andy for half the time and then like jerk Andy for the other half or what, you know? What does it look like in your finances to be completely devoted to God? Now, when I say completely devoted to God, then I'm talking about the widow giving 2 cents. I'm not saying, so you guys need to give all of your wealth to the church, because you should be suspicious of me if it's like, hey, by the way, it turns out this scripture is about giving all your stuff to me. Thank you. You get to go to heaven. Bless you. And be suspicious of that. In fact, here's the Christian teaching, the teaching that's rooted in scripture is to look at tithing, is to do 10%. And so that's, you know, to work towards giving 10% of your income to the church. And if you're not there, to work towards that. But here's the thing about stewardship is it's about so much more than that 10%. Because like there's that, but it's not like you get to do 10% and then 90% run wild. That's not the message of the scripture. Message of the scripture is, what are you doing with your entire budget? What are you doing with how you use all of your money? What are you doing with how you use all of your time? All of your material? Do you honor God with your whole life? Because our temptation is to hold back some. So maybe I can take care of myself just a little bit. Let me just hold on to this one coin and see what I can do with it, and I'll give God a coin too. That's the temptation. At least that's my temptation. I don't know about you guys, but we try to hold back to try and take care of us, and the thing we can forget so easy is that only God can really take care of us. Only God can really save us. Again, I don't know about you, but I'm tempted to hold back, and I think that's why this thing with the two coins, it just really struck me. I mean, you guys probably don't struggle with this, right? Where you're like, well, I'd like to, I can put some of myself forward to God, but then I kind of want to keep control over some of this stuff over here. It could be money, it could be time, it could be anything. But I found that anything I try to hold on to for just Andy, sin ends up wrecking it. And that everything I give to God, God ends up redeeming it. In fact, that really is why it gets down to this whole thing of, are you willing to be entirely devoted to God? Jesus asks his disciples to be entirely devoted to God because God wants to save all of you, the entirety of you. And that stuff that we hold back ends up being corrupted by sin. But all that we lay before Christ, Christ saves and redeems. Are you willing to be completely committed to God? And if so, what does that look like in your finances? And so we'll close this time by looking at the pledge cards.